I came defiled and guilty to Jesus the mighty to save. He took my sins and sorrows and beauty for ashes gave. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as the driven snow. I came to Jesus repenting, confessing my every sin. My heart's door swung wide open, and glorious peace flowed in. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as the driven snow. And since that joyful moment of glorious peace to me, my soul has ceased its pining, my heart has been light and free. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as the driven snow. Roll on, ye changing sea, suns or turbulent seas of sin. I found a blessed shelter and glorious peace within. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as the driven snow.
I'd like to start with a verse over in Isaiah 32:17. It says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." And then that 19th verse kind of switches things. When there's trouble all around, still my people will be able to dwell in a peaceable habitation. There's a song that we sing. His oath, his covenant, his blood will support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. This Prince of Peace shows up the most when there's trouble around, because it said of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. So then why don't we have peace all around us? What it means is it's available to all of us. We got to tap into it though. There's a song also, "Though the world all around be raging and it's filled with many alarm, trust in Jesus and he will keep you in the shelter of his arms. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. It's found in the shelter of his arm." I am so thankful for that today, because we're living in some troubled times where none of us know what tomorrow holds. But we still have the verse in John 14:27 where Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." That was told to the Jews when he was here. "I've got some peace that I want to give you." And I was thinking about this. Why was Jesus rejected by so many of the religious leaders? They had an expectation of what he was going to do for them. You know, peace to me means there's nobody that gives me trouble anymore. The troublemakers are all gone. And instead, Jesus came to not change the circumstances around what happened. He didn't even come to make a difference in whether the Romans were in rule or not. What he came was to give them peace. And I was thinking of this, of the increase of peace, there will be no end. Remember where it said, where sin abounds, grace will much more abound? I think we could also say, and it wouldn't hurt it any, where sin abounded, peace also can abound for those of us. Remember when the angels came announcing Jesus coming, said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. This was the goal of what he came to do. So now, it's the people's part. What will they do to it? And you remember when Jesus over in Matthew 23 and 37 is one of the places. Can somebody get Isaiah 48 and 17? Okay. Someone get Luke 19 and 41. So Luke 19 and 41 for someone. I'd like to start with one in Matthew 23 and 37. This is Jesus. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. Had a choice to make. They could have had peace, abundance of peace, while there was trouble all around them, but they missed it. So let's go next to the one that is Luke 19 and 41 before we do Isaiah. Okay? If you had known the things that belong to your peace, you could have still had the Romans in rule all around you and had peace. You remember where he was saying, if they compel you to go a mile, you go with them too. You know what that's going to do to your peace? You're not going to be disturbed with it. Where he says, if they smite you on the one cheek, turn to them the other. If they ask of you this, you be willing to go beyond. What's that doing? That's causing me to be able to respond in a way that I've got peace. He said, if you'd only known the peace that would belong to you. And he could see out in the future that just maybe 30-something years from now, a few years from now, this will all be destroyed. Because here's what happens. How oft would I have gathered you together as a hen would gather her chicks, but you would not. Remember the verse, sometimes we would think, okay, that's to the sinner, folks. But you know what that can also be? It's Proverbs 3 and 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. You know, I believe that applies to us today. The troubles that come to me and I want to sort it out and figure it out and I lose my peace. When I could have done what he wanted Jerusalem to do, if you'd only known the peace that would have come just from you just trusting me. And I am thankful that we can have it today. So, okay, Isaiah 48, 17 and 18. That's an important verse there. It was important for them back then, but it's important for us today. I want to have peace. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. You know, he's got commandments all through the scriptures of what will cause us to have peace. If we would have hearkened to his commandments, we would have peace that flowed like a river. You know, we can have that in our lives today. With all the trouble that's happening around us and we don't know what tomorrow holds, we're dealing with the Prince of Peace. We're dealing with the one that said way back there in Isaiah, of the increase of his peace, there won't be any end. It's available for us. But it's just, what will I do with it? So I look at some scriptures. I'll give these out. Psalms 119 and 165, and Job 22 and 21, and 1 Peter 2 and 21. So let's start with Psalms 119 and 165. Okay, so we take that verse and we put it with this other one. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. You know, when you read Psalms 119, you find verse after verse of how much he loved the law of God. Oh, that my heart were inclined to be able to know it better. It was just so many verses that we find. And then it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and they shall have no stumbling block. Okay, Job 22 and 21. That's an interesting verse to me, because I say, okay, that applies to the sinner. You need to get acquainted with the Lord. Acquaint now thyself with him, and you'll be at peace. But I wonder, is that to the sinner only? I think that's to us today. And really, that's what I've been trying to do over these past weeks, and it's really for myself. I want to get better acquainted with who Jesus is. When I just think of his name, you know, we got lots of things our thoughts can go on. But I would like to have that when the name of Jesus is mentioned. You know, Brother Leslie seemed like it was so easy for him to do that. Just thoughts could come. I believe it was because he had stored it away in his heart. And I want to be able to have, right now, to be able to realize, when I hear the name Jesus, I want peace to be associated with it. And whether I have it or whether I don't have peace, if I don't have it, then I want to look at some of these places that said, if you had only hearkened to my commandments, you would have had peace like a river. You know, that still applies to us today. With the troubles that can come up in our life, we could have peace like a river if we would hearken to his commandments. And that doesn't mean I'm a sinner. It means there's times when it tells me to cast my burdens on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He won't suffer your foot to be moved. And I decide to carry it on my own and I lose my peace from it. I want to hearken to his commandments. I want to become better acquainted. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. I want to do that more in my life. Okay, before we go to 1 Peter, I want to look at a verse in Philippians 3 and 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, this is another thing. When I hear the name of Jesus, I want to better remember what all is involved in that name. The power of his resurrection, I like that. What about the fellowship of his sufferings? How did he handle his life when he suffered? Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 2 and 21 through 23. Want to have peace? Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When they're asking him, are you the king of the Jews? And he just kept his silence. When so many times the people, you know, the people that he had created are calling him Beelzebub, did this power through the devil. And you know, he just allowed them to go ahead and do it. And then he told us, you know what? You want to have some peace? Leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So when I start checking into looking at the chapters of the name of Jesus and how he lived his life, the times that he took reproach and what he did back to it, that we would follow in his steps. He left us an example that we would follow in his steps. So there are some places, there are some verses that tell us, I have a part to play. One of those is in Matthew. In Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers. You think you'll have peace if you'll be a peacemaker? It'll sure help. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, there's a contrasting verse, Proverbs 26 and 17, is a verse that totally contrasts this one. You ever get your, what does it say? Meddleth with strife that doesn't belong to him. So each of us probably could look back in our life and say, you know what? Hey, I found a place where I lost my peace. Yes. Now this picked, I just try to take a picture of this. It doesn't matter how mean of a dog there is. If you can get him tight enough by both ears, and you know what? At some point, you're going to have to let go. And holding a mean dog by the ears is cumulative. The longer you hold it, the more he's thinking about it. And it's not like he just decides, okay, so in 10 minutes you held me by the ears, let me go now and I'll just go on my way. The longer you do it, the madder he's going to get and the trouble's going to come at the end of it. He that meddleth with strife, not belonging to him, or sometimes the strife that does belong to me, that's the picture that it wants us to have. And it's just the opposite of, want to be a peacemaker. Can I cause peace to come to this strife instead of joining up with it? So there are verses that tell us, Romans 12 and 18. If someone would get Romans 12 and 18. So is it possible that after doing all that I can do, things still aren't peaceable? As much as lieth in you. So what it's saying is, let me do all that I can to live peaceably with all men. And then I believe the Lord will step in from that. You know, a lot of times the peace that we're talking about is the peace that comes when strife still continues. If the trouble was all gone and I had peace, I'm really no different than the world. Because the world says, you got peace, it means all trouble is gone. Well, if I had that, you know, really, if the Jews had that, when Jesus came, if he would have caused the Romans to turn them loose, you know, it'd have been a matter of time before somebody else comes along. It was the way history was. But instead, what he did was came along to say, there, you can have peace, whether it's the Romans or whoever it is. You know, he dealt with people that were slaves, and he didn't tell them, tell you what, I'm going to turn you loose. Nobody should be your boss. You know what he did was said, servants, be obedient to your masters. You want to have some peace? Because what he did was he came to show us how to have peace when we've got trouble all around us. How could Daniel have peace when he has been taken out of his land and he will serve his lifetime as a slave? We never hear of him going back to a family reunion. We never hear of him seeing his family again, his people again. And yet he allowed that to cause him to have peace. How do I know it? Because as soon as he needs to get a dream converted, he's right there in touch with God. It didn't say he had to pray for 3 days to get his peace back to where he could communicate with God again. He just lived in that place. And I'm thinking it's possible for us to do it. And here's where we do it. As much as possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let that be my desire. I'd like to look at a verse in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And when we're talking about this peace, the peace that Jesus can give, I believe this is important for us today. Back in the 29th chapter, this is when they have been taken into Babylon. How can you have peace when you've been taken as a slave? But he says in the 7th verse, well, even before that, he tells them, you go ahead and build houses. This is the 5th verse. And dwell in them. Plant gardens. Eat the fruit of them. Take wives and get sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. So in other words, just pick up your life and keep on living. And then it says, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Now, you know, those cities would have different names than the cities that we live in today. But I think the message is the same. Seek the peace of the city that you live in, because it's going to be in the peace of that that you're going to have peace. Seek the peace of America, Because it's going to be in that that we're able to have peace. Where we see so much turmoil, so much strife, let us not get involved in it. Because what it's going to do is it's going to destroy our peace. Seek the peace of the city. There is another verse in Romans. Because as I looked at these, we've given several verses. But you know what I'd like in this chapter? That it be backed by the Word of God. Because I can tell you my own thinking about peace. And you know it won't take you very far. But if you can hide away the Word of God in your heart, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And you know what I would like for you to be able to do when that happens? Is be able to say, like Jesus said, it is written. Not that I heard it from another person, just they're talking about it. But here's the scriptures that we use. So when our peace wants to be destroyed, let's go back to these scriptures again and use them. Because they have the power behind them. So I look in Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherein one may edify another. You know, in our life, it's going to be real important for us to follow after things that make for peace. Maybe things are troubled at the time, but let me work toward causing that issue to be peaceful. There is another one in Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That tells me put an effort into it. Don't just say, well, if peace comes my way, that's fine. Seek peace and pursue after it. Blessed are the peacemakers. That takes an effort. This one, pursuing after peace, is going to take an effort. There's another one that I'd like for us to look at in Colossians. Colossians, the third chapter. This is an interesting verse. 3 and 12. Starts in 3 and 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Is this a good recipe for having peace? It is. And humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then the 15th verse, let. You know that's something. You ever see verses that start off with let? It just means you back off and allow this to come in. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peace of God wants to rule in every one of our hearts. When trouble comes, the thing is for us to let it. You know, there. You ever heard the word jet stream? I was thinking of that when we travel to other countries, and I look on the picture of the map, and we're going to seem like a long ways out of the way. But I start watching the little indicators on it, and it says we've got a headwind of so many miles per hour. But we're going out of the way. But then I start seeing, wait a minute, now we've got a tailwind of 130 mile an hour or something. What's that going to do to my fuel economy and getting there without much expense for those? They have taken a little bit extra distance to get in the jet stream. I'm thinking about this one. Is it possible there's a jet stream for peace? If I just go a little bit out of my way, if I will hearken to his commandments, then I can get up there where I got a tailwind instead of a headwind. What's pushing against me? You know, we had just, what was it, a couple of days ago when that front came in. You can have it blowing from the south for a little bit, and all of a sudden it turns around and comes from the north so quick. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts. Rule in your hearts. And then there is another one, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Whose mind is stayed on, and I have so many things that I can let my mind be stayed on, and none of them are sinful. One of them is the current news and what's happening tomorrow and what is projected to happen the next week can cause me to lose my peace. And this one says, if you had hearkened to my commandments, you'd have had peace like a river. What was his commandment? I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon me. So the more I can turn my mind back, get into this jet stream of peace that the Lord has for us. Is it possible in 2021, or was that only intended back in Isaiah's time? I believe it's possible for us now. So what we can do when we get to times where my peace is gone now, I guess I'll always remember, I hope I will anyhow, when Aunt Nelda said she came to a place where there were ministers that were preaching, if you have an affliction, the scripture says you ask and you can have it. So there is no need for anybody to have an affliction. You have faith to believe it and you will get it. She wanted it. She was like anybody else. She would love to have a healthy body. So she determined, I'm going to have the faith and get it. I believe what was said. So she went after it and she put everything into it. You know, you think what you really got to do is put your mind all into it. And you know what? People in the world for other things say that. It's meditation. Get your thoughts all lined up for this. Well, she did it. She put everything into it. And she said something happened. She lost her peace. What a price. And she said, I'm not going to do that. Got to have my peace back. So she went back to the Lord, picked up her cross again. Because, you know, Paul could have done the same thing. He could have lost his peace when he was told after three times going to the Lord, want this thorn to be removed. And what he heard was, I've got grace that's sufficient for you. And you know what? I believe Paul had peace from then on. Aunt Nelda went back and got her peace back again, and it stayed with her. To her dying day, she could just tell the Lord, Lord, here's my request. I'd like for it to be different if you want it to be. For me to be able to have peace, I've got to be able to have my life committed into his hands. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray, and I'd also lose my peace while I'm heading down that road. So I'm interested in having this peace that passeth all understanding. I'd like to look at one last verse in Philippians, the 4th chapter. This is what we do every service. And 4th chapter and 6th verse, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can take this one verse right here. This is what we do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it's also what we have the privilege of doing every day in our home, is just tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us already. And here's the things that I would like for you to do. And I can even tell him, Lord, I would like for you to do it this way. Seems to me like this is a good way to do it. But what I end up doing at the end of it, if I want to have peace, this didn't say, let your request be made known to God only in the way that he would answer it. I don't know how he will answer it. So I can ask him any way I want to. Lord, I would like to have it this way. But if I want to have my peace, I need another. If you had hearkened to my commandments, you'd have had peace like a river. What would cause me to have peace like a river here? I can let my request be made known to God, and then end it with Jesus' example. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then believe that however it comes was exactly what God wanted for me. And then I can have this Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his peace, there be no end. It's because I've tapped into that jet stream where the resistance now is gone. I'm flowing in the will of God. And then it goes on down that next verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Keeping your heart and your mind is the secret to being able to have peace. Bringing into captivity every thought to the knowledge of the Lord. Then I have one more there, one more verse, the 8th. Because how I'm going to have the peace that passeth all understanding to keep my heart is what am I thinking about? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we will have this peace. So I want to be able to have it in my life. These times that we have looked at, okay, when I think about the name of Jesus, I want to think about all those things that he is. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of peace, there will be no end. That means it's available for me in my life, no matter what comes my way. I am thankful for that. I would like for us to close with a song. It is number 102. I like this song. He keepeth me in perfect peace. But you know, even this song tells about conditions met to be able to have that peace. The very first of the first verse is a condition. As I walk in pastures green, there's a condition. The end of that first verse says, while I'm trusting, I have perfect peace. Yes. Throughout that song, it's telling about the things that I do, but then he can keep me in perfect peace. May we stand and sing that song, number 102.